dug in with solid defenses. That cost too many lives. But that base is the center of all their operations in the belt. Neutralize it, then. Keep a squadron of ships in the vicinity, close enough to knock off vessels going to or from Vesta, but far away enough to avoid the asteroid's dug-in defenses. Pancho nodded. Warming to his subject, Wanamaker gesticulated with his big hands, cupping them together to form an imaginary sphere. Matter of fact, he said, why can't you put three or four of your armed ships together, armor them with an asteroid rock, and keep them on station at a decent distance around Vesta? They'd have more firepower than any individual HSS vessel, and more staying power.
It'd be like a blockade, wouldn't it? Pancho said.
Wanamaker grinned lopsidedly at her. You catch on pretty quick. The rush of pleasure Pancho felt from his praise quickly faded.
But then Humphreys'll send out his ships in groups, said it individually, won't he?
Yep. Convoying would be the counter move.
Just makes the battles bigger.
And more expensive.
Suddenly she felt gloomy.
Wanamaker immediately picked up on her mood. Look, Miss Lane.
Pancho, she corrected absently.
Okay, Pancho then. Sherman was right. War is hell, pure and simple. It costs so much in money and blood that if there is any other way to settle your differences with Humphreys, any way at all, take it and avoid the bloodshed.
She looked into his earnest brown eyes and said, I've been trying to avoid this for more than 8 years, Jake. There's just no way around it. Short of giving Humphreys total control of the belt, which means total control of the whole solar system, I won't allow that. I can't. He puffed his cheeks out in a king-sized sigh.
Then we'll have to fight.
Guess so, Pancho said morosely.
You know, battles are won first of all on the morale of the people doing the fighting. Hardly any units fight to the last man or the last cartridge, especially mercenaries, such as you'll be using. Somebody decides it's hopeless and gives up before he gets killed.
Or she, said Pancho.
He acknowledged that with a nod. Battles are won in the mind and the heart, Pancho. Wars, too. The winner is always the guy who won't admit defeat.
She leaned back in her chair, stretched her long legs, and stared up at the boardroom's smooth white ceiling. Humphreys is a stubborn SOB, she said, and he's not doing the fighting. He sits safe and snug in his house down at the bottom level and gives the orders.
And pays the bills, Wanamaker added.
Pancho stared at him.
The way to win this war is to make it too expensive for him to keep on fighting it.
Well, that means it'll be expensive for Astro, too, and I've got a board of directors to answer to. Humphreys can walk all over his board.
With an understanding nod, Wanamaker replied, Then you're going to have to do some fighting, too, with your board. Just because you're at the top of the chain of command doesn't mean you don't have to put your butt on the line, Pancho.
She tried to smile. I guess the price of commodities from the belt is going to go up.
George was surprised at Pancho's message. Go full speed ahead on the nanoprocessing, she said, her lantern-jawed face deadly serious. It's important that we bring down the costs of mining the rocks. George studied her image on the wall screen of his sitting room, thinking, First she says nanoprocessing is going to knock the bottom out of the market, and now she's off to trot with it. What's going on with her? Pancho's next sentence explained it, at least partially. Astro's got some big expenses coming up, Georgie. Anything we can do to lower our costs will let us squeeze some extra profits out of the mining operations and help us pay for what's coming up. What's coming up? George asked Pancho's image. She couldn't answer, of course, not for an hour or so, but George was afraid he already knew. They're going to fight it out, he figured. No more poking here and there. They're going to fight a fucking full-scale war. And they're going to do it right here in the belt. One more thing, Pancho was going on with hardly a pause for breath. It's going to be more dangerous out there for Lars than ever before. Tell him it's time for him to come in from the cold. I can give him a new identity, let him live here in Selene if he wants to, or even back on Earth. He's got to get out of the belt for his own safety. George nodded at Pancho's image. She looked grave, somber, like a woman about to go to war, George thought. Then he realized, nah, she looks more like a fucking avenging angel.
Victoria Farrar watched Humphrey's reaction to the latest reports from his far-flung intelligence network. Astro's arming ships, he muttered, staring at the display hovering in midair above his desk. And she's pushing the nanoprocessing scheme. She's preparing to go to war, Farrar said. Against you. He looked up at her, his face cold with fury. With nanoprocessing, Pancho can cut her costs and give Astro an extra layer of profits to finance her war. Then we've got to get into nanoprocessing, too. Damned quick, Humphrey snapped. The scientist who perfected the process is here in Selene, Farrar pointed out. He came in with Pancho. Hire him away from Astro, Humphrey said immediately. He's not an Astro employee, she said. Not legally, at least. Then hire him. Give him whatever he wants. If he won't come along with us, kidnap him. I want him working for me. I understand, Farrar said. Humphreys rubbed his hands together. By God, with nanoprocessing, we'll cut the costs of mining down to nothing, almost. Down to the cost of transportation, just about. Nanotechnicians don't come cheap. He sneered at her. Cheap enough. We'll only need a handful of them. We'll have those little buggers not only mining the ores out of the asteroids, but refining them into pure metals while they do it. What more could you ask for? Farrar looked less enthusiastic. Lots of miners are going to be thrown out of work. So what? Humphrey said offhandedly. More recruits for the mercenaries. More cannon fodder, Farrar thought.
Still in his quarters inside the asteroid Vesta, Doric Harbin tried to think of the French phrase about the more that things may change, the more they remain the same. Instead, a quatrain from the Rubaiyat came to his mind. Yesterday, this day's madness did prepare. Tomorrow's silence, triumph, or despair. Drink, for you know not whence you came, nor why. Drink, for you know not why you go, nor where. The irony is almost cosmic, Harbin thought. Humphrey fires me because I've failed to kill Fuchs. Yamagata hires me to lead a squadron of mercenaries. Humphreys hires Yamagata's mercenaries and bases their ships on Vesta. I didn't have to move. Didn't even have to pack a travel bag. Here I am in the same quarters, lower in rank, but higher in pay. All I have to do is lead three ships into battle against Astro Corporation. Fuchs has become a sideshow. His relationship with Lisa Chaptal had changed, though. She had emerged as Yamagata's senior officer among the mercenaries hired by Humphrey's space systems. Now she outranked Harbin and had little time for him, which was just as well, Harbin thought. He had no enthusiasm for sleeping with a senior officer. It was one thing to take orders from a woman in battle. In bed, it was a totally different matter. But Harbin had his consolations. In the travel bag that he didn't have to pack rested a flat, gray, oblong medical kit that contained a subcutaneous microspray syringe and an array of specially designed medications. Something for every mood, Harbin thought as he went to the bag and pulled out the kit. Sitting on his bed, he clicked open its lid and examined the vials lined up neatly, each in their clasps. Something to alleviate depression. Something to enhance sexual performance. This one smothers fear. That one speeds reaction time. Each one designed specifically for my metabolism. And Lisa says Yamagata can supply as much as I need. Drink, for you know not why you go, nor where. He repeated the line over and again in his mind as he took a vial from the neat little row and inserted it into the syringe. Something to make me forget everything.